Woohoo! There we go. I think you can hear me. That's right. Okay, so here we are, team. We choose freedom. We choose freedom. So in moments, we will encore welcome political magic ally Pat Ewing, full spectrum strategy. As we honor the full moon tide, we all be surfing. The tide has turned. The great storm is coming. But the tide has turned, says Gandalf. And we put a few principles on our work table, which is expectation is the partner of disappointment. But willingness is the dance partner of life, right? So remember, after Obama, everybody was like, I'm so disappointed. And disappointed is a word we might want to throw into the cauldron so it can rest itself, because it means dis, underworld, appointed. When we say we're disappointed, it means we are powerless in the underworld. So whereas willing is like intending and available, really so wonderful and great. So we are awaiting. We are awaiting our wonderful Pat. But in the meantime, we're going to play wonderful Trey Crowder, just his news report for now, which will bring us up to where we are. Here we go. Perhaps. Perhaps Board Op is busy. Kirsten might be busy connecting with Pat. Oh, that's true. There's a lot going on here. All right. When Board Op has connected Pat, then we will play Trey Crowder, wonderful, wonderful piece. Ah, there we are. Okay, here we go.
Hey, y'all, don't you just love how 2024 is like, hey, what if roller coasters never ended and weren't fun? Wouldn't that suck? Yeah, that's America now. Yeah, I don't know about y'all, but I, for one, am about done living in interesting times. Just one long, lunacy-filled week after the swing and a miss on Trump, Joe Biden has officially exited the race. And half the Democrats are excited and half of them are furious. If you're part of the former group, hell yeah, brother, let's get it. Scared money don't make no money. Go big or go home. If you're part of the latter, I want to try to at least make you feel a little bit better, I hope. All right, I know people are like, listen, y'all, it's just too late in the game to do. There's no time for this. Listen, I know in this country, we treat elections the way HBO treated the last couple seasons of Game of Thrones, right? We spend an obscene amount of time and money on them just for most people to be pissed off at the end result anyway. I know we're like that, but in most Western democracies, elections are like 30 to 90 days, all told. Dude, in France, they're like, when should the election be? I don't know, Saturday after next. And then they just cram all their arguing and voting into that condensed time frame, get it over with, go back to smoking and eating long bread. Like, it can be done. There is still time. All right, now I know people are like, okay, but the Democrats, they can't execute a gamble of this magnitude. They'll screw this up. I hear you, but 24 hours in, I don't know. I mean, record-breaking fundraising numbers, they seem to be coalescing, endorsements are rolling in. I mean, I know it's weird to see. I know it's like seeing the Dallas Cowboys put it together in the playoffs. It almost makes you mad. You're like, where is it? I'm saying, so far, not terrible. And there's other upsides, too, man. Just think of all the time, money, energy, and vitriol the other side has devoted to hating Joe Biden. It's all wasted. Picture the warehouses of FJB shirts gathering dust. Right, picture your dumbest coworker staring forlornly at the back of his truck like, I gotta buy 50 new bumper stickers now. It's funny. Right, they put so much towards Joe Biden. What are they going to do now? I mean, we all know what they're going to do now. They're going to achieve heretofore unseen levels of racism and misogyny. That's what they're going to do. You know, they're already developing a dog whistle the size of a tuba. They're already in the lab workshop. And like, listen, guys, we need a Let's Go Brandon that means get back in the kitchen. Can we not just say that? I was just going to say that. Oh, yeah, I guess we could just say that. All right, who wants lunch? All right, you know they're working on it, but it's not just about her. It's also about their guy. It's been pointed out, y'all, Donald Trump is the oldest person to ever run for president. You got to ask, is he up to it? In his advanced stage, in his mental state, I mean, it's borderline irresponsible of the Republicans to run a candidate like that. I'm just saying, I love the smell of tables turning in the morning, okay? There's a long road ahead, but there are reasons for optimism here, and I'll end this part with this. 4 years ago, most of us didn't expect much out of Joe Biden other than to just beat Donald Trump and not be insane. But I'll be damned if in that time he didn't get more done than any other president in my lifetime. And he managed to go out with one of the most selfless, statesman-like moves in the history of American politics. All right, shout out to a real one. Now let's go get it. All right, wild times out here, guys. A lot of questions still remain. Who's going to be the VP? Probably the biggest one. The one thing everybody can agree on, got to be a honky. That's right. We all know everybody's already... put that to the side immediately. It's like, we need a boring white man. That's what we got to have. There's the only way to balance this ticket, because, you know, that's just how it works in American politics. You got one thing on this part of the ticket, you need another thing on this part, unless you're Republicans, and then it's just angry white guys all the way down. But that's how it all works, and everybody knows it. So all these white guys are lining up. Like, is it going to be me? Is it going to be me? Who's it going to be? I tell you who I happen to like personally, Senator Mark Kelly, because he's just all-American. I mean, who hates astronauts? The man's an astronaut in a swing state. Hits pretty hard. You think that's somebody they couldn't possibly hate? But that's not true. Not in a post-Trump world, dude. They'll be calling the moon gay in no time. In no time they'll be out here like, I knew that was fake. I knew we never landed on that. What kind of idiot thinks we landed on the moon? Astronauts suck. Mars. Gas is high here. Won't be no time. They'll be calling for NASA's dissolution and everything. But still, I think it's worth a shot, because, I mean, hell, I like astronauts. I like space stuff. But he's not the only good option. There's other options out there that I like. A lot of people, you know, want Mayor Pete. I like Mayor Pete a lot. But, you know, he is a gay man, and this country is still, in many ways, a bass-ackwards nightmare. It's just one of those deals where it's like, you know, black woman, gay man in America, I don't know. We got to win the Midwest. They like casseroles and bigotry. That's what they like up there. But maybe not the Democrats, so it could work. I think the man's incredibly talented. I just think that maybe it needs a little more time until then. Now, most people think we need a Midwestern dude who speaks Rust Belt, can talk about, like, steel and not having jobs and stuff like that, but be a Democrat and whatnot, and they got a few names in the bucket for that, too. And really, as far as I'm aware, I'm kind of on board with any one of them. I think you could build a strong ticket here in any J.D. Vance, I can tell you that much. I think things are about to get exciting, if a little existentially terrifying, but we're ramping up now, y'all. Getting closer to the end game. Let's get it done. Time to coalesce, unite, come together. That's what we got to do, and I believe we have the capacity to make that happen. Thank you all for watching. I appreciate it. I put these up here as my special. There's a circle. Subscribe to the channel. See all these little misses of mine and podcasts and stuff. And then the most important one to me, TreyCrowder.com. That's got my tour dates on it. If I'm coming near you, get tickets. Come see me do stand-up comedy live and in person, because that's what's really up. And as long as you keep watching these, I'll keep making them. I love you like chicken. See you, bye.
Anyway, that's great. Okay, that's Trey Crowder, one of our more reliable news reporters for Coyote Network News, really. CoyoteNetworkNews.com for all of your mythological election participatory needs. So are you there, Pat? Maybe. Is Pat there?
Can you hear me?
Are you there? Yes. Okay, now, yeah. There we go.
Dun, dun,
yes.
Dun. Sorry.
Dun, dun, dun. All right, well, we can do this. We can do this. That's great. So I love the Trey Crowder review and bringing us up to speed, and he does prepare us what you wanted to do, like prepare for the onslaught, right, of what's coming at us and what's coming at Kamala. Although, you know, remarkable organization. You'd pointed that out. You know, this is I'll just bring up a little bit of her and toss it to you. But, you know, so Kamala Harris, long time studied her chart, you know, and every now and then with friends we would squint at it going, yeah, and her name Kamala means lotus, and her middle name is Devi, you know, divine feminine, that's what it means. And, you know, and she's got really smart, you know, progressive women confidants in her inner circle. And yeah, and then we would see her, this was, you know, like months ago, a year ago, and go, oh, her campaign that she ran for president was terrible because she hired all these expensive men to manage her. And it's like, no, 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 no. And I think the Uranus transits for all of us, she's shed the management, and her first ad out, We Choose Freedom, is smoking. And you had made a point that, you know, well, in 24 hours, they raised $250 million, you know, 2/3 small donors. But you had said also part of her great strategy is she called everybody, right? She called the unions. She called, who'd she call?
She did. It's remarkable how well she organized this. Part of the thing was interesting. Well, first of all, so much has happened, right? So much has happened in such a short amount of time. Normally this would take a couple of years to make all these differences. And then we'd be talking about it over a couple of years and it might even be boring. In this short amount of time, it's just unbelievably remarkable. On her specifically, there was a lot of calls for an open convention, right? People were saying, no, we don't want this one person. We want to have, you know, meetings all around the country with delegates, and we want to parade people in front of them. which was kind of an interesting idea. However, nobody else wanted the job, to be perfectly honest. But what she did and had to have known, had to have had it organized before Biden got out, knowing he may get out, was she knew who to call. She knew how many people to call. She knew how to raise the money. She knew what her message was going to be. She even called anybody who would go, would actually be an opponent in the convention. She actually called them within 24 hours to ask if, about, talk to them a little bit about being VP. So all of those people the next day were on CNN, MSNBC and everything talking about how great she was. So she's literally locked this thing up in 48 hours, which I found heartening and remarkable. Because even if she had floundered for the first week or tried to find the bathroom or trying to figure it all out, she didn't. And I found that incredible. We've seen her progress. She started out with a very poor presidential, but I want to say she started out with all the hype. So when she started, everybody wanted her. She was the star in the very beginning of the 2019 primary. And she failed, and she flittered and failed. And then she had trouble finding her feet as VP. But what was remarkable is, over time, she figured it out. She got a better team who could support her through, but this is really her. So it was sort of remarkable that they figured it out. And I have been in her position and her staff position at the White House while people were asking whether, you know, the VP I was working for was going to be president the next day. The pressure is remarkable. It changes you. The pressure is so it's so much. She was able to go ahead.
Oh, no. You finish your sentence. Sorry. Yep.
Well, the pressure itself to be the number two while your number one is the president is faltering or there's questions about whether he should stay in, all of that, I've been under that pressure. I've been at the White House during that kind of pressure. And it is remarkable. And it changes you and it either makes or breaks you. And for her, she did it beautifully, beautifully. And I found that, you know, because I could relate to it, I just found that remarkable as well. So she's coming out of, it isn't just her first foray into being a candidate. It goes back a few weeks while everyone was struggling to figure out what Biden was going to do and there was more pressure mounting on him. She was standing tall and strong and dedicated. And it's actually not an easy place to be in. So now now the third piece is, which I'm really impressed with, is her initial messaging, which is freedom, and which her new ad about freedom is fantastic. And then in addition, the prosecutor versus the felon, which I think is a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's really good. So let's talk full moons. So team, so last Thursday we did, you know, the thing, and all praise Octavia Butler, but we did rewrite her novel where the Trump figure wins, and we go, no, we're eclipsing that. But it was afterwards where I was writing my notes for Patreon Visionary Activist Show, and I do procrastinate, but I was also like, no, let me wait for this full moon, Saturday night, Sunday morning. It's really big. There's a big story swoosh, you know. And what I'd written, it was the full moon at 29 degrees Capricorn, which is the Council of Wise Women dedicated to the next seven generations, opposite the sun in Cancer. So it's like, okay, Big Mama swooshing in, you know, with the power to inform structures of governance with reverence and protection for life. So that's what I was looking at going, ooh, and here we go. Full moons. Trump was born on a full moon lunar eclipse, which sort of means he can only be eclipsed by women. I'm just putting that over there, but we're not going to rest on our laurels because there's dancing to be done. But full moon, Kamala Harris, born on a full moon. She's a full moon Libra dragon. And for years, I'd always pondered because her sun, S-U-N, 27 plus Libra, his image is a person in deep gloom, unnoticed, a glowing circle of angels surrounds them. And I love that image and that degree, because when we're alone, we can all be the person in deep gloom. But when we gather, and we'll talk about organizing and organizational competence, when we gather with the glowing circle of angels, and her moon in Aries, the power of the woofy woman leader, she's coming into it, I've always loved the Sabian symbol for her moon and been kind of waiting for it, because the image is an unexpectedly large audience for a woman who liberates them from their expectations. We go, all right. You know, and then just for the fun of it, 27 degrees is hopping. Kamala Harris's sun and moon are 27 degrees. Biden's sun is 27 Scorpio. The Democratic Convention, which is the next full moon, right? So the full moon on Sunday morning is humming with the August 19th full moon, where the sun's at 27, the moon's at 27, and Uranus is at 27, and your sun, right, Pat, your sun is 27 degrees of Taurus. So we're all hopping. It's like, ooh, full moon, big mama tide coming in. So it is really hopping. I'll just say a thing and then toss it back to you, because, you know, as Trey Crowder mentioned, like, organizing, we're not used to good people being organized. And even before all this, last week, Heather Cox Richardson did a Zoom town hall on Project 25, you know, and she's so wonderful. You can sign up for her free letters, you can sign up to subscribe, you know, but she writes an essay a day on American history and its pertinence to us now to be a participatory, informed citizen. She had 70,000 people on her Zoom call. That was heartening. And you just informed me, Pat, that there was the African American women. Tell us about that. And then tonight is white women. And it was full, but they've just opened it up so that the likes of ourselves can get in. So feel free to say about the African American women Zoom call. Sure. And tonight at 5:30 West Coast time, white women tonight. Yeah.
And there's going to be one for Asian, Latino, Latina. And the one with African-American women was sort of like a quick call while in the first 24 hours of Kamala's new election, new campaign, in order to shore up support. So they anticipated around a couple thousand people, and 44,000 got in. And they had to call the CEO of Zoom and ask them to open it up, because they didn't know that many people were going to be on it. So they're just following that sort of fun thing to do. And so they're having one for Asian women and all that. So it's going to be a lot of fun. But there will be ups and downs on the campaign. And as you see, so the reason she's getting good press is, A, she's learning it. She's earning it. She's earning it right now, and she's doing a very good job. The press also like the fact that she's such a fun contrast against, Trump. But in addition, because they were so negative on Biden, the press make money when they take you up or take you down, and it doesn't have to be the same person. So they work in cycles. When the press is flat, that's when they lose viewership. So they push people up and they push people down. Right now they're pushing her up. So that means that there could be a down at some point. So it's her, she's going to continue to work hard. And right now Trump is trying to figure out his negatives against her, trying to figure out how to run against her. And it's put them in great disarray. However, that's going to change. They will figure something out. They will always, always love to have their, you know, racist, sexist taunts. However, they will figure something out on her. And so then that's sort of, you know, if it doesn't happen, I'd be very surprised if it doesn't happen before the convention, where they really try, they get their act together and they really, really try to be as negative as possible. Because in Trump's mind, he went through his entire convention and it was all an attack on Joe Biden. And so any convention is worth about $100 million to a presidential in free press. And he lost all of that. And he lost all the money that he spent on the convention that the campaign has to pay for. So for him, it's a huge loss. and they're going to have to recoup it and recoup it hard. There's also talk about he's not, you know, he's concerned about his pick in Vance.
Yes, going against Joe Biden, it
didn't matter as much going against Joe Biden with who his VP was, because it was really Trump versus, you know, versus Biden, the rematch kind of thing. Now with Vance doesn't help him at all going against Kamala Harris. It's fabulous. Right.
Well, and I just wanted to talk.
I love the kitty stuff. Go ahead.
You love the what?
The kitty stuff. His comment from 2021.
Oh, right, he said, childless cat women. Right. And then just for the fun of it, you know, Trump is having buyer's remorse on Vance, and they're so similar. They're so similar. They're both double Leos, sun in the 12th house, double Leos, almost the same degrees, right? And, you know, I often say about bullies, and especially about Trump, if he met himself, he wouldn't put up with himself for like a minute, right? Well, he's got mini me now. And I'm really sure they're getting on each other's nerves. And, you know, it's like there's, and I think that's part of our, you know, on stage and backstage strategy team, you know, that were allowed and encouraged to set forth any blessing of which we would be the happy recipients. May tyranny contain the seeds of its own demise. And we go, yeah, if I were tyrannical, would I wish that? Yeah, absolutely. And it's like, I like the Punch and Judy backstage show of Vance and Trump going, how do I get rid of this guy? You know, an accident. No, that's too odd. Anyway, so there's that. And we're just going to sort of see that they maybe kind of take each other out just as a thought. But yes, being warned. Our chart today, our chart always really, but our chart today has a Thor's hammer, which is awareness of danger, and the capacity to sweep corruption out of the halls of governance. There we go, team. Let's see that. And it's the moon in Aries today for us. Moon in Aries in Kamala Harris's chart. Moon in Aries is the power of the woman hero, different from Guy, you know, although Hi John the Conqueror and many, the trickster, the liberating hero, is interested in, you know, liberating women, liberating the land, liberating the entire atmosphere, right? And there have been some great things, you know. Facebook is very, very, it takes things down on a whim. You can't get anything socialist posted or whatever. And there was a really joyful, wonderful post by Brian Kolker on, you know, look what you'd mentioned, Pat, you know, which is look at the, you know, humorless, no joy Trump. And here's this joy and this dancing and this thing. And we go, right, rousing. And we'll honor the power of music. And yes, Beyonce's anthem, you know, on her, which is Freedom, on her first ad, which is good. And then, you know, we say, we hone our skills, our participatory skills. And I can always hear, you know, grumpy progressives in the wings going, and we go, yes, but, you know, participate in any way, kitchen magic, make maps and colors, draw your own ballot and vote for what you really want to vote for, and, you know, and vote for it, leave it in nature, you know, and do that. But also participate, you know, what we've been playing with, Pat, you know, is the pewter shield of protection. We can play with these things, but these are ongoing skills. But I'm very fond of what goes with the pewter shield of protection for Fannie Willis and all people working for democracy, that they can just have self-possession, that anything chi-sucking bounce off, leaving them their own private interior freedom to dree their weird. That's good. But it goes with everybody in your magic backpack. You can pull out your boomerang, which is anything up to no good returns to its source with a meringue, with a pie in the face. Whop. You know, we're just practicing now, but it was pretty great. Mike Johnson was a pretty good example of that, and this is completely liberating trickster fair play. Remember, everybody, Mike Johnson was like, Biden can't do anything without a teleprompter. And then Mike Johnson was on stage, and he couldn't even remember the name of the person he was introducing. And he goes, oh, There goes the teleprompter, and he skedaddled off stage. More of that, right? More boomerang.
Right. And so, it what is coming at us as well, there are the forces that support Trump around the world who want to see him elevated back to the presidency are formidable, real, and a lot of it's undercover. So there isn't a need for illumination. There's a need for, you know, he also is propped up by people, Putin, even Bibi, even, you know, Saudi Arabia. There are people who have either invested heavily in him, in his businesses, and Hungary, Orban.
Yes.
So he's not somebody, Trump isn't someone who stands on his own. He stands with the power that's been given to him. So the question is, you know, if you have power that you're using from someone else, and you want to learn to stand on your own two feet, would you be willing to give that up? And if it was taken from you so that you could stand on your own two feet, is that something that is beneficial? And I would say yes. So even seeing him as a separate person without grabbing for, leaning on, sucking into him the power of these autocrats, I'm not sure he can stand on his own two feet without that power. So is there a way to sort of, you know, cut those ties?
Well,
so that he's himself.
Right. Well, even the demons are bored with him, right? I like to think of him as possessed. You know, and at the convention, and I did watch the whole Trump rant, right? And it left me feeling very jolly, actually, in the morning, because it was so exposed, so dreadful, you know, even the spirit of Hitler stormed off stage going, this guy is pathetic, because the first thing, you know, he completely blew the opportunity to do big, horrible things, big, horrible hate fest, big Hitler-like rally, like, you know, and he bored everybody to death, right? Tyranny bores itself to death, right? And I was following Twitter. Twitter, as every now and then, you know, kind of open is open to pertinence and camaraderie, and it's like Black Twitter is great, and you know, and there's a number, so there was a to and fro, but there were people on the floor in the convention who were like, oh god, he won't stop talking, everybody's checking their phones, there's a dissonance in everyone in the hall, really, and we can kind of hum this, oh, we love Trump, right, but this, and the donors were all nervous, like, whoa, and people were tweeting going, this is when Trump became not president. So that was a huge gift, which then, you know, the Democrats in their disarray couldn't even comment. They were like, oh, no, Biden's got to leave. Biden's go, I know. But that's water under the bridge. That's okay. It is a gift of tyranny taking itself down. I love that part. So yes, and what you say, you know,
and we still have Biden for another 6 months, and
yes,
Joe Biden's still working for another 6 months, and you know, reform of the Supreme Court is key to what he's going to be working on. And somebody pointed out to me that 6 months in a presidential, you know, 4 years of a president is 1/8 of their entire time period. So he's got an entire 1/8 of his time period left. And he has a huge ambitious agenda that now he was anticipating doing the second 4 years. He's going to cram as much of it as he can into this 6 months. So there's also the positive, the good, other good part is that he is still here. He is still working. He is still dedicated to a lot of the ideas that we care about. And even, can you imagine Supreme Court reform? I mean, that would be, to start that process would be amazing. It would be a gift for all of us.
Yes, and we're gonna keep that going on the other side of this wonderful, wonderful break music. We lost two wonderful women last week, Sheila Jackson Lee. I actually interviewed her at the 2004 convention, Democratic convention. I think Kirsten was there too. And what a powerful presence of grace. Oh, all honor. And Bernice Johnson Reagan. And she's going to introduce us now, bless her ancestral spirit, we call upon it now, to another quality that we're bringing into play, that, you know, election campaign as theater for democracy. So here we go with Bernice Johnson Regan.
Sound is a way to extend the territory you can affect. So people can walk into you way before they can get close to your body. And certainly the communal singing that people do together is a way of announcing that we're here, that this is real. And so anybody who comes into that space, as long as you're singing, they cannot change the air in that space. The song will maintain the air as your territory. And I've seen meetings where a sheriff has walked into a mass meeting and established the air. This is a sheriff everybody knows, and they're taking pictures or taking names, and you just know your job is in trouble and blah, blah, blah. The only way people could take the space back was by starting a song. And inevitably, when police would walk into mass meeting, somebody would start a song. And then people would, like, join in. And, like, as people join in, the air would change.
You talk about how this little light of mine was what people could do, could sing when they were scared, when they were in trouble.
A lot of these black old songs are I songs. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. So when you get a group, now changing songs to we, like, yeah, we shall not be moving, we shall overcome. That's the presence of white people in collaboration with black people. Because in order to express community, you have to go to first person plural. And in the black community, when you want the communal expression, everybody says I. So if there are five of us here and all of us say I, then you know that there's a group. And a lot of times I find when people say we, they're giving you a cover to not say whether they're going to be there or not. So the I songs are very important. So this is a light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, means that when the march goes, I am going to be there. So it really is a way of saying the life that I have, I will offer to this thing. And we grow up in a culture as black people where we really got strong messages about being visible. And that the best way to be was to have this sheen and move almost as if nobody could tell you were there. You know, whatever job you had, if you could just get it done and the cooler you were about it, the more you were applauded. To the extent that people really had to go through a barrier to stick out. Now this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. It's just crashing through all of that. It's a very arrogant stance. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine.
Oh, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. All honor. Bernice Johnson Regan, who one of the co-founders of Sweet Honey in the Rock, and who passed last week, holding hands with Sheila Jackson Lee. And remember, Jupiter, intelligence of storytelling and blessing, entered its what's called retrograde shadow at 11 plus Gemini, and then it'll go up to 21 and then back in station at 11 the end of this year through the election and into next year. And just to say it again, the image for that degree is strong black women standing up for our rights. And it's like, I love everything that Bernice said and guided, you know, and what we were talking about, changing the atmosphere. You know, sound is a way to extend influence. Communal singing, announcing we're here, this is real. As long as you're singing, the song maintains the air. And we go, right, more of this, more of this. And for everybody, you know, under tyranny, it's like rather than like polarity, like we hate the police, it's like sing that song. Sing that song. It's powerful. Now we've got, you know, the power of, you know, black spirituality and black political spiritual reality and South Africa and like, woo, woo, woo. And our midheaven today is Mardi Gras. Pageantry fills the streets. So we go, right, it won't be hard to do a much more inviting, magnetizing piece of political spiritual theater for the Democratic Convention. And I mean, there was pathetic, you know, the Republicans were pathetic, you know, I can't even remember who it was, just irrelevant men thumping their chests. Right, and it's like, ooh, there's some fun to be had. But awareness of danger, as you say, and, you know, to toss it back to Biden has time. And I want to see him, you know, he was worried about losing pertinence. It's like, think Jimmy Carter, think long, you could do great things, but even in these 6 months right now, we're not expecting, and therefore disappointment proof, but we are willing, you know, Bibi's in town now. Bibi already had his conversation with Biden, and I think right now he's having his conversation with Kamala, which is probably, well, we hope, a quite different conversation. But we'd like Biden to be free, you know, again, not expecting, but willing to go, hey, you know, Bibi, you know, permanent ceasefire now, two-state solution, all hostages everywhere released. Right, Supreme Court, I'm going to toss it back to you on that. Yeah, Supreme Court, Jack Smith reinstated. And, you know, fill in the blank of fun things that could be, fun liberating things that could be done now in his newfound freedom. So, here we are on the other side of the wonderful break, inspiring music, that's great. And I love Bernice saying, you know, I songs, and then white people changed it to we, but I is actually more powerful. I love her whole riff on that. You were saying about the Supreme Court.
Right, well, taking that on, there are other huge pieces of legislation, but also just, you know, a million things that he could do at this point, but he does have an agenda. And if you look at his speech, he laid it out. He didn't just lay out, I thought, in his ideas. I didn't think he was laying out, you know, here's what I would have done on a second term, and too bad you guys, you know, basically forced me out because you would have gotten all these goodies. I thought he was actually talking about his next 6 months and what he would be doing and how he was going to handle it. And Supreme Court was absolutely key to that. But so was continuing to reduce, keeping the economy going, which the economy right now is doing quite well. You know, it was decreasing prices of prescription drugs, you know, dealing with, so he can also deal with the border as well and immigration issues in the next 6 months that could actually help Kamala as well. So there's a lot of different issues that he wants to tackle and can tackle that can be supportive of this. I do want to say on the other side, one of the things that's been coming up as far as the former president, Trump, is that what they're looking to do is get into Harris's record and try to Willie Horton her. And I don't know if you remember that from the Dukakis campaign, where what they tried to do, and they did successfully, actually wasn't just Willie Horton. There were three issues. One was on the environment, and the Boston Bay was terrible. This is Mike Dukakis versus George Bush Sr. Willie Horton was another piece of it. And he was somebody that was pardoned by Dukakis, who went ahead and committed other crimes. And so what they're going to do to Harris is they're going to look at her career and look at everybody she's ever given a lower sentence, et cetera. And that's what you do with prosecutors when prosecutors run for office. So that's their goal. Their goal, and they believe their goal for finding a campaign against her is in her record as a prosecutor. So that's what their goal is. So they're going to use it two ways. They're going to say she targeted African-American men and she put too many in jail. And then they're also going to say she let criminals go. And so that's what they want to tag her. I think that's where they're going and what they want to tag her with.
And what is your boomerang strategy for such things?
Well, it's A, not true. And I think what you've already seen her talking about, which really kind of surprised me as well, because it was a smart thing to put down on the record, is just how many African-American men she supported and helped. And she's already talked about it with, and the, she had, when she was attorney general, she had the, she developed these crime prevention programs and how to get men and women out of jail, and but also how to prevent them from going in. And there are success rates with those, and she's already talking about them. And I believe that's an inoculation to what she thinks is going to be a negative. So she's already starting to work on it. And the best way to handle an issue like that is to get ahead of it enough so that when you and I might hear it just on the radio or on the news or in print, we say, oh, I already know about that. And it's not a big deal because I already know X, Y, or Z. So what carries the day when you throw out negative information about a candidate is the surprise factor and the timing of it. So you have to time it correctly with if your candidate's already seen as somebody who supports people who are incarcerated to have a better and more fulfilling life, and then you bring up information that says this person destroyed these five people's lives and this is all her fault, it doesn't ring as true. So always your goal is trying to say, okay, how, you know, that's what I would do about it. I would look at that record. I would get her record together. I would start putting in, you know, nuggets, tidbits, information, sending information out, et cetera. They want to do that too because she's the prosecutor versus the felon. So they would be great if they could start chipping away at her being a prosecutor as a positive.
Right.
I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, and it's full on imaginative participation. Everybody, regardless of any union or whatever the thing is, it's like there are things with which to work. Right. So even for now, and we'll look at the convention as well. Full moon. It's a wild full moon. All of this requires dedication. You know, it's like. The Republican convention and I think it was the CrowdForce, the Microsoft company that, you know, messed up everybody and airplane flights were canceled and all kinds of stuff. Same pattern as the Republican convention. And it's astrology is at least twofold. One is descriptive. The word disaster means against the stars, because the other realm is guiding, the word consider. So we're gathering to consider, which means with the stars, in order to avert greater disaster. And what was the theme then about the crowdsource, the CrowdStrike company and the Republican convention is it was a Saturn in Pisces, two Leo planets, the Pisces-Leo conversation, which if we were cooperating, we would say, oh, right, you know, it's theater that is not performance, but deep dedication to collective well-being. That's what it wants to be. And if it's not that, right, then it is the full Leo revelation of the hidden Pisces chaos. And that's what, you know, that's the, kind of the company going, is this company dedicated to collective well-being? Maybe not. Is this Republican convention dedicated to collective well-being? No. And so we see the roiling cuckoo-ness. And maybe Bibi and Orban and Putin will lose patience with the former guy. We don't know. We might come back to imagining that. But so back to us, team, it requires dedication. dedication. You know, the power of the Democratic Convention. Well, we have time to talk about it. We'll maybe be doing Pat and I will be doing an event on the full moon night. We're brewing it now. But there's a lot to work with. And on the day of the election itself, you know, it's about dedication. Each one of us really dedicated to collective well-being, no matter what. You know, we plight our troth. We are dedicated to collective well-being. You know, the earth is on the ballot. You know, flora, fauna, fungi. No matter what, and if the dedication, you know, victory goes to those who are most dedicated to collective well-being, and that's always been, you know, an issue that you know well, Pat. You know, about the Democrats often. You know, it's like the divine or whatever, you know, has been more lenient with the dementors, you know, Republicans who go, we're up to no good. And the divine goes, yes, you are. And you know, carry on. You're doing a good job. And then, you know, blessed, you know, like Al Gore, you know, I am the embodiment of democracy. No, you're not. Right? No, you're not. It's really about authenticity, you know, to really embody ally etiquette and how we treat each other well, and that, you know, we tease principles of democracy and equality, and when we treat each other well, doesn't mean being nice, because that comes from nescient, which means ignorant, but it means with respect, like, hey, how you doing? And Uranus Trickster presiding over this whole thing, may it be liberating, Trickster, you know, says, you know, so this is good news for everybody. It says democracy, equality, synchronicity. Long time ago, wondering what those things had to do with each other. And then events staged themselves that made it very clear. When we look down at somebody or up at somebody, there's no synchronicity. I mean, there's other things, there's money and everything, but no synchronicity. So we, all of us, if we treat each other well, have synchronicity. The dementors may have more money, although maybe not, you know, anyway, here we go. More Putins, more Bibis, more Orbans. But we, if we treat each other well, have synchronicity. The right conversation at the right moment, the right thing at the right thing. It's electric that way. It's one of the presiding intelligences to be truly embody democratic principles and democratic animism dedicated to the well-being of everything on the planet. So that's part of our deal. But, we were doing a little bit on our Monday Trickster call, which is fun and ongoing. But you had, you know, just to, because a long time ago, you brought up Leonard Leo and with his giant money bags, and you thought of him, you had us imagine him as the Monopoly money bags guy. And then we all said, well, let's then be coyotes. And we run up behind him and nip holes in that bag of money so that it leaks out as he's walking. And didn't that actually happen? Didn't he run out of money? He didn't know where the money went?
He did.
Yes.
Yeah, and he didn't know where it went. He actually threw money at what he thought was, you know, a winning strategy. And it ended up, he wasn't sure where it went. And then he didn't have any more to give. So, you know, one of the things that happens when you throw money around like that is people take it. So, you know, they'll take it.
Right.
So they did.
So that was,
you know?
Anyway, but being coyotes nipping at the money bags, having it leak out, you know, that worked, right? It takes dedicated people on the ground like you're, and then backstage magic, and that's the winning combination team of on stage really doing the work, which you know well too, Pat, you know, just doing that organizing work, and then backstage we get to have boomerang and cauldrons and pewter shields and seeing the coyote part of ourselves. So, you know, to all of us, really. So,
I have a new one.
What would be the...
I have a new one.
Oh, okay.
I have a new one, which is a contrast between Kamala and Trump, Harris and Trump, that I think we could all participate in. And that is, she has a rip-roaring laugh. Mm-hmm. She enjoys laughing down to her toes. And that is something we've been missing. And when you're dealing with a bully like Trump, you don't always feel you have room for joy and laughter because you're always trying to either defend or offend. You're always trying to move him away or move him forward or whatever. He's making, you know, he's in your face and you're trying to get either rid of him or mute him or something. And that joy, that true laughter, hasn't been around. And I think that's a wonderful way to think about this fall, is that the joy of being ourselves and being who we are in our communities and really letting out our own laugh and our own joy. And you can do that with her because she enjoys it so much herself. So, I think that's a point of strength between her and Trump.
It's great because laughter is Trump's kryptonite, right?
He hates it in every way. He just hates joy. He hates that spontaneous spark of life that makes it fun.
Right,
so
and
it's a great connection.
Hillary had a cackle, but it was a terrible cackle. He died. It was a terrible cackle. So we're replacing the cackle, the kind of negative witch, and then, you know, she wrote a great detective novel with Louise Penny. Go do that. That would be really good. Right, and so, you know, the power of women and women within, you know, women who eat like the wolves and the men who love them, you know, with the men too, you know, again, that power of, I'm just rambling now because I lost my thread,
I have a question. Do you normally see, and I don't know if you can answer this as an astrologer, but do you normally see so many ties to images of women as you're moving through a process? Like, it seems like to me in hearing you, because I've heard you for quite a few years talk about politics and how it, within astrology and how that all works together. I haven't heard that many images of women come from what you think is going to be happening. Well, not happening, but what our invitation is to understand this process moving forward. There's a lot of images of women in it.
Right. No, that's great. That was the thought that I had that I lost, but then you brought it back. Oh, thank you. That's great. We're working together. Uranus squaring the moon on the Democratic Convention, you know, and again, cooperate with the dynamic thing. You know, we go, let us just proclaim, you know, Inquisition over. And Bernice Johnson Reagan brought this up, too, about, you know, it used to be that, you know, black women had to stay invisible or witchy women or educated women. And we go, no, not anymore. Not anymore. You know, it's safer. Inquisition over, we declare. Still terrible things going on in the world for women. But it's safer now for everyone to come out as their witchy, wise, educated, woofy selves. Everybody. You know, so that's, and Uranus chimes in and says, you know, for young people, medium young people, old people, whatever, Uranus says, you know, when before in human history, you know, and when before in each person's life have really cool people, and we'll say women for now, but also, you know, including, been starting a whole new chapter. And Uranus chimes in and says, exactly, each person is part of an experiment on behalf of the Earth herself, right? And the powerful full moon tide right behind us, right, the full moon Cancer Capricorn, early Sunday, July 21st, morning, you know, this tide, like, ooh, surfing in on this tide. And it's like, yeah, no, to answer your question, it's like, no, it's women everywhere. Jupiter's strong black women standing up for our rights. You know, the moon, the full moon right behind us, the full moon, you know, and it's, and the joy and the singing, the joy and the singing and the dedication, you know, still aware as we all are of the danger and chicanery and violence and all of that and the refusal to acknowledge defeat, you know, all those things. But we're engaging, you know, all parts of ourselves, you know, all parts of our witchy, wise, wizardy, liberating selves. Uranus says, it's nature's evolutionary genius principle that doesn't have a category of success, fail, other parts of us do. It's just try that. You know, try that. Let's put big ears on this mammal and see if the little critter lasts for a couple million years. Let's try that. Nope. Let's try that. Nope. Let's try that. Ooh, yeah. And I think that's how we gather and how we strategize. And it'll be interesting on the white women call tonight at 8:30 East Coast time, 5:30. There's probably still room, right? They had to close it down because it was too full.
Yeah, I think if you even Google it, you can get into it. If you even Google white women call on for Harris, I think you can even get into it. So you just have to Google it. But I want to share that a quote because I think it's relevant. of one of the things that Biden did for us in his speech is give us a clear contrast, not in words, but in deed. And here is a man who has been a fabulous president, has done a tremendous job getting us out of a pandemic all the way along in the last 4 years. And he normally, you're rewarded with more time. And he's saying, no, I'm leaving because I love the country. Where Trump is saying, I'm staying because I love myself. And there's a quote here that Biden did. He said, I draw strength and I find joy in working for the American people. But this sacred task of perfecting our union is not about me. It's about you, your families, your futures. It's about we, the people. And we can never forget that. And I never have. And so he's drawing from this whole sort of era of Trumpism and MAGA. He's helping to draw the contrast between who are we as Americans, that it's up to us and it's our choice, and one person in an office is not a king. They are not
okay,
a king,
and they don't get to lead us. Right. Nay king, nay queen, we will not be fooled again. I got to fit this in our last minute. Because all that you say, yes, 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 and then we also got to say he's been a great president, except for Gaza.
Exactly.
Let's view this as a time where he could partly reunite with his soul, because it's a huge discrepancy, because he's so good at grief and compassion, except in regard to Gaza and Palestinians and Iraqis, a big part of the Iraqi war. You know, it's like, ooh, yes, the good things, and then may it be that he be able to do, to Jimmy Carter, to resolve some things even in these 4 months. But yes, so we have much imagining to do, and we do always include Gaza. It's crucial. It's on our humanity's on trial, and must be resolved. You know, like now. I'd like it now. And also, Leonard Peltier pardoned would be a really good thing to do this week, Joe. But anyway, so thank you so much, Pat. Any last 10-second woof? No.
I think the amount of changes take a while to actually sort of fall into your psyche, but everybody who listens to you will understand that moving forward, we got to continue to reimagine in our own lives the how we want to move forward. And it starts with our, in very small ways within our own life, and it actually has vast ripple effects.
Yes. Yes, wonderful. Always a delight. We keep dancing. You can find out more about Pat and Mike Cahooting, CoyoteNetworkNews.com, and Patreon, CoyoteNetworkNews.com. And thank you always, Kirsten Thomas. And we will reconvene next week. Thank you, team. Woof.